Today is the 18th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather again and take another step forward on the journey that we have begun. The one that takes us from January 1st to December 31st. The one that takes us through the entire Bible. And so here's what's going on. We finished the book of Nehemiah yesterday. We are still reading through stories from exile, which brings us now to a new book, the book of Esther. And although this is a short book, we'll read this in a couple of days, it's a very high drama story. The book of Esther will introduce us to a young Hebrew girl named Hadassah, and she was an orphan. She was an orphan in exile in Persia, but her cousin Mordecai took her in and raised her as his own daughter. And Mordecai was an exile of the tribe of Benjamin. And often these exiled Jews would take on more localized names. And so this Hebrew girl, Hadassah, was given the name Esther, which means star or morning star in Jewish tradition. And from the Bible, we are told that Esther is staggeringly beautiful and possessed a quiet character. And so when King Ahasuerus, who is thought to be King Xerxes, sought to find a replacement for the queen that he had banished, her name was Vashti, and we'll read all about that, he ends up choosing Esther, although Esther has kept her ethnicity a secret. Nobody knows that she's a Jew, and that proves to be huge in the story, because around the same time there's a man named Haman who had risen to prominence before the king. And Haman was a descendant of King Agag of Amalek. And the Hebrews and the Amalekites had been at war with one another, enemies of each other, dating all the way back to Jacob and Esau. And the prophet Samuel had executed King Agag after Saul defeated the Amalekites in battle. And so we can see why Haman would have a hatred of the Jews. And as Haman rises to power in the kingdom, everyone has to bow to him, but Mordecai the Jew won't bow before Haman. And all of this backstory gets reignited until Haman's hatred of the Jews is so profound that he hatches a plot to do everything that he can to annihilate every Jew in the Persian Empire. So what we have set up before us is a very, very high-ranking official in the kingdom of Persia who wants to destroy the Jews from the kingdom while the king has a Jewish queen sitting on the throne. And so there are great tensions here, a great struggle and a redemptive conclusion. The book of Esther is now the basis for the festival of Purim for the Jewish people. And this was established, this festival of Purim was established in the book of Esther by Mordecai. And this story falls in the same time period that we've been reading about in Nehemiah and the previous books that describe the exile. There are a ton of parallels in the book of Esther that we can look at and apply to our own lives. Things that need to be taken to heart, things that need to be remembered, that God will always show up, that circumstances don't always dictate the outcome of something, and that everybody has an irreplaceable role to play for such a time as this. And that can be as big as the queen of an empire or as small as the friend that you know is going down right now. Maybe you too are here for such a time as this. And with that, we begin Esther chapters 1, 2, and 3 today. The following events happened in the days of Ahasuerus. I am referring to that Ahasuerus who used to rule over 127 provinces extending all the way from India to Ethiopia. In those days, as King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Susa, the citadel, in the third year of his reign, he provided a banquet for all his officials and his servants. The army of Persia and Media was present, as well as the nobles and the officials of the provinces. He displayed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his majestic greatness for a lengthy period of time, 180 days to be exact. When those days were completed, the king then provided a 7-day banquet for all the people who were present in Susa, the citadel, for those of highest standing to the most lowly. It was held in the court located in the garden of the royal palace. The furnishings included white linen and blue curtains hung by cords of the finest linen and purple wool on silver rings, alabaster columns, gold and silver couches displayed on a floor made of valuable stones of alabaster, mother of pearl, and mineral stone. Drinks were served in golden containers, all of which differed from one another. Royal wine was available in abundance at the king's expense. There were no restrictions on the drinking, for the king had instructed all his supervisors that they should do as everyone so desired. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in King Ahasuerus' royal palace. On the 7th day, as King Ahasuerus was feeling the effects of the wine, he ordered Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zather, and Carcass, the 7 eunuchs who attended him, to bring Queen Vashti into the king's presence wearing her royal high turban. He wanted to show the people and the officials her beauty, for she was very attractive. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's bidding, conveyed through the eunuchs. Then the king became extremely angry, and his rage consumed him. The king then inquired of the wise men who were discerners of the times, for it was the royal custom to confer with all those who were proficient in laws and legalities. Those who were closest to him were Karshena, Shetar, Admata, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, and Memucan. These men were the 7 officials of Persia and Media who saw the king on a regular basis and had the most prominent offices in the kingdom. The king asked, "By law, what should be done to Queen Vashti in light of the fact that she has not obeyed the instructions of King Ahasuerus conveyed through the eunuchs?" Memucan then replied to the king and the officials, "The wrong of Queen Vashti is not against the king alone, but against all the officials and all the people who are throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the matter concerning the queen will spread to all the women, leading them to treat their husbands with contempt, saying, 'When King Ahasuerus gave orders to bring Queen Vashti into his presence, she would not come.' And this very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard the matter concerning the queen, will respond in the same way to all the royal officials, and there will be more than enough contempt and anger. If the king is so inclined, let a royal edict go forth from him, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media that cannot be repealed, that Vashti may not come into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let the king convey her royalty to another who is more deserving than she, and let the king's decision that he will enact be disseminated throughout all his kingdom, vast though it is. Then all the women will give honor to their husbands, from the most prominent to the lowly." The matter seemed appropriate to the king and the officials, so the king acted on the advice of Memucan. He sent letters throughout all the royal provinces, to each province according to its own script, and to each people according to their own language, that every man should be ruling his family and should be speaking the language of his own people. When these things had been accomplished, and the rage of King Ahasuerus had diminished, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what had been decided against her. The king's servants who attended him said, "Let a search be conducted on the king's behalf for attractive young women, and let the king appoint officers throughout all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the attractive young women to Susa, the citadel, to the harem under the authority of Haggai, the king's eunuch who oversees the women, and let him provide whatever cosmetics they desire. Let the young woman whom the king finds most attractive become queen in place of Vashti." This seemed like a good idea to the king, so he acted accordingly. Now there happened to be a Jewish man in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai. He was the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite, who had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the captives who had been carried into exile with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile. Now he was acting as the guardian of Hadassah, that is, Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for neither her father nor her mother was alive. This young woman was very attractive and had a beautiful figure. When her father and mother died, Mordecai had raised her as if she were his own daughter. It so happened that when the king's edict and his law became known, many young women were taken to Susa, the citadel, to be placed under the authority of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the royal palace to be under the authority of Haggai, who was overseeing the women. This young woman pleased him, and she found favor with him. He quickly provided her with her cosmetics and her rations. He also provided her with the 7 specially chosen young women who were from the palace. He then transferred her and her young women to the best quarters in the harem. Now Esther had not disclosed her people or her lineage, for Mordecai had instructed her not to do so. And day after day, Mordecai used to walk back and forth in front of the court of the harem in order to learn how Esther was doing and what might happen to her. At the end of the 12 months that were required for the women, when the turn of each young woman arrived to go to King Ahasuerus, for in this way they had to fulfill their time of cosmetic treatment, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfume and various ointments used by women, the woman would go to the king in the following way. Whatever she asked for would be provided for her to take with her from the harem to the royal palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to a separate part of the harem, to the authority of Sheazgaz, the king's eunuch who was overseeing the concubines. She would not go back to the king unless the king was pleased with her, and she was requested by name. When it became the turn of Esther, daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had raised her as if she were his own daughter, to go to the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was overseer of the women, had recommended. Yet Esther met with the approval of all who saw her. Then Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus at his royal residence in the 10th month, that is, the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she met with his loving approval more than all the other young women. So he placed the royal high turban on her head and appointed her queen in place of Vashti. Then the king prepared a large banquet for all his officials and his servants. It was actually Esther's banquet. He also set aside a holiday for the provinces, and he provided for offerings at the king's expense. Now when the young women were being gathered again, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther was still not divulging her lineage or her people, just as Mordecai had instructed her. Esther continued to do whatever Mordecai said, just as she had done when he was raising her. In those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, 2 of the king's eunuchs who protected the entrance, became angry and plotted to assassinate King Ahasuerus. When Mordecai learned of the conspiracy, he informed Queen Esther, and Esther told the king in Mordecai's name. The king then had the matter investigated and, finding it to be so, had the 2 conspirators hanged on a gallows. It was then recorded in the daily chronicles in the king's presence. Sometime later, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, exalting him and setting his position above that of all the officials who were with him. As a result, all the king's servants who were at the king's gate were bowing and paying homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded. However, Mordecai did not bow, nor did he pay him homage. Then the servants of the king who were at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you violating the king's commandment?" and after they had spoken to him day after day without his paying any attention to them, they informed Haman to see whether his attitude on Mordecai's part would be permitted. Furthermore, he had disclosed to them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai was not bowing or paying homage to him, he was filled with rage. But the thought of striking out against Mordecai alone was repugnant to him, for he had been informed of the identity of Mordecai's people. So Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, that is, the people of Mordecai, who were in all the kingdom of Ahasuerus. In the first month, that is, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus' reign, Pur, that is, the lot, was cast before Haman in order to determine a day and a month. It turned out to be the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a particular people that is dispersed and spread among the inhabitants throughout all the provinces of your kingdom, whose laws differ from those of all the other peoples. Furthermore, they do not observe the king's laws. It is not appropriate for the king to provide a haven for them. If the king is so inclined, let an edict be issued to destroy them. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to be conveyed to the king's treasuries for the officials who carry out this business." So the king removed his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, who was hostile toward the Jews. The king replied to Haman, "Keep your money and do with those people whatever you wish." So the royal scribes were summoned in the first month, on the 13th day of the month. Everything Haman commanded was written to the king's satraps and governors who were in every province, and to the officials of every people, province by province according to its script, and people by people according to their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. Letters were sent by the runners to all the king's provinces stating that they should destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, from youth to elderly, both women and children, on a particular day, namely the 13th day of the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar, and to loot and plunder their possessions. A copy of this edict was to be presented as law throughout every province. It was to be made known to all the inhabitants, so that they would be prepared for this day. The messenger scurried forth with the king's order. The edict was issued in Susa, the citadel. While the king and Haman sat down to drink, the city of Susa was in an uproar. First Corinthians 11:17-34. Now in giving the following instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must, in fact, be divisions among you, so that those of you who are approved may be evident. Now when you come together at the same place, you are not really eating the Lord's supper. For when it is time to eat, everyone proceeds with his own supper. One is hungry and another becomes drunk. Do you not have houses so that you can eat and drink? Or are you trying to show contempt for the church of God by shaming those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? I will not praise you for this. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me." For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself first, and in this way let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For the one who eats and drinks without careful regard for the body eats and drinks judgment against himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and quite a few are dead. But if we examined ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you assemble, it does not lead to judgment. I will give directions about other matters when I come. Psalm 35, 17 through 28. O Lord, how long are you going to watch this? Rescue me from their destructive attacks. Guard my life from the young lions. Then I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you before a large crowd of people. Do not let those who are my enemies for no reason gloat over me. Do not let those who hate me without cause carry out their wicked schemes. For they do not try to make peace with others, but plan ways to deceive those who live peacefully in the land. They are ready to devour me. They say, "Aha! Aha, we've got you." But you take notice, Lord. Do not be silent. O Lord, do not remain far from me. Rouse yourself. Wake up and vindicate me. My God and Lord, defend my just cause. Vindicate me by your justice, O Lord my God. Do not let them gloat over me. Do not let them say to themselves, "Aha, we have what we wanted." Do not let them say, "We have devoured him." May those who rejoice in my troubles be totally embarrassed and ashamed. May those who arrogantly taunt me be covered with shame and humiliation. May those who desire my vindication shout for joy and rejoice. May they continually say, "May the Lord be praised, for he wants his servant to be secure." Then I will tell others about your justice and praise you all day long. Proverbs 21, 19 and 20. It is better to live in the wilderness than with a quarrelsome and easily provoked woman. There is desirable treasure and olive oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish person devours all he has. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this new territory that we have entered into and will move through rather quickly, this book of Esther, that gives us a glimpse of your providence even against all odds. There is always more to the story than we know, and there is no other hope outside of you. And so plant what we've read into the soil of our lives as we meet the characters who are involved, and Holy Spirit, come as we take the next step forward to the conclusion of Esther tomorrow. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here. And of course, the Daily Audio Bible app is home base too, and you can download that app from the app store that works with your device. It's a free app, and it puts the community, the global campfire, in the palm of your hand. So check that out, and check out the different sections like the Daily Audio Bible shop or the community section. Get connected in any way you can or want to. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anytime, anywhere, and to build community around the rhythm of showing up for each other every day. If that is meaningful to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership as we navigate through the summertime. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or there are a number of numbers you can call in the Americas. 877-942-4253 is the number. In the UK or Europe, 442036-088078 is the number. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Dad family. This is Nobody Gets Left Behind in Colorado. Also known here in Colorado as Jill. It is my husband Mike and my 18th anniversary. I just want to praise God, give him all the glory for that, and just remembering calling in 5 years ago and sharing a little story about the pizza boxes and the trash can and how I had woke up and that was the first thing that I saw and how the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me and woke me up and told me, you know, this is your anniversary, woman. Well, anyways, the Proverbs today, Proverbs 21:9, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. So I just want to really just thank God for my husband, Mike. He is truly, truly a man of God. He has come so far. This is his second year listening to the DAB, and my goodness, it's done wonders for his knowledge and his faith and just growing him and growing our love. We've been through marriage counseling. We've been through hell and back, family. And I just want to let you guys know, if you're married and you're going through things, please, please stay connected to our Bible, the Word of God. When we listen and we find out and discover who God is, we discover who we are, and everything snaps into place. We've heard Brian say this over and over again through the years. So I just, my time's running out, but I just want to celebrate 18 years. Our marriage is an adult, like Brian said about the 18th year of the DAB. But I love you guys. I pray that you have a wonderful week. I'm listening and praying for all of you.
Hi, this is Lori Ann from South Carolina, and I just wanted to thank all of my brothers and sisters in the Daily Audio Bible group who has prayed for me over the loss of my husband 2 months ago, Stephen, and I just thank you so much for all of your prayers. I can feel your prayers. And I also wanted to ask if you could please pray. My son, he didn't speak to me and my husband for the last 3 years of Stephen's life, but we still got to see our grandchildren every other weekend when my daughter-in-law had custody of them. And so I haven't got to see my grandchildren since Stephen's funeral. And please pray for me, because I feel like I've lost Stephen, my son, my grandchildren, my home, my life. But I still praise God, because I wake up every day facing Goliath, and yet I still make it. I'm still making it day by day. And I hope I'm getting stronger day by day. And I've went back to work as a hospice caregiver, and I just pray that I can be of encouragement to my patients, and I pray that my love of life will return to me. And I'm just so grateful for the God that I serve. And thank you so much to the Brian Harden family for all that you do for us and providing this platform. It means so very much to all of us. Thank you so much, and please pray for me. Thank you. This is Lori Ann in South Carolina.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Colorado Jesus Girl, and I'm just calling with a prayer request. This is my first time calling in. I've been listening to the Daily Audio Bible since about mid-pandemic, and this is the first actual year that I've listened every single day to the Bible, so I'm getting there. But anyway, prayer requests would be for my father. He has been suffering with dementia for several years now and is at the end stages of his life. All of my siblings have just come into town, and I have five, and then my mom and my father have been married for 66 wonderful years. But today when we were praying and reading scripture, every time we got to the area of forgiveness, he would shake his head. So I think he's having some struggles with either forgiveness of people in his life or perhaps even forgiving himself. So if you could just pray for a peaceful transition and for him to somehow work through with the Lord in that area and give us the grace and the wisdom and the Holy Spirit's guidance to help him through that time. Thank you all for your prayers. I appreciate you. And thank you, Brian, and your family for all that you do. God bless you all.
Hey, DAB family. This is Robin, and I'm calling to ask for prayers for my son, Roland, who rededicated his life to Christ yesterday. He's 26, a young businessman, owned several businesses, and just recognized that he was not living his life according to how he felt like God was calling him to live. So just asking that God would surround him with other men who, godly men, who can show him what it looks like to be a godly business leader and to make the adjustments that he needs to make in his life, and that he would be able to stand firm in his dedication, and that God would open his eyes to see and his ears to hear the plans that he has laid out for him. And I am overjoyed with this news, and it's also an answer for prayer. And, you know, I couldn't be happier, but we know it's a journey, and God isn't always super clear when he calls us back to himself. So I just pray that he would have an open mind and would continue to seek God wholly and earnestly. Thank you all.